really struggling with a loss where it had profound impact on me emotionally, financially, mentally. I had to really work to every time get myself back up, put myself out there, and understand what I needed to do to move forward in my life.
She's talking about losing a job, and that's our emphasis on today's edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. No matter where you live in the world, I'm sure unemployment is on the front page of your newspaper.
I've heard for years people say, so what do you do? And they don't tend to ask me, well, who are you? So when you don't have a job, then that question of what do you do is kind of gone.
I've been there, have you? Well, we probably all have at one time or another, and that's why it's so important that you stay tuned and listen to our conversations on today's edition of Come Receive the Light. We're with you for the next 25 minutes from our studios in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos.
And so people's self-esteem just seems to be taken from them. And in my work as a counselor, what I do is help them come up with a kind of list of what hasn't been taken from them. And I believe some of the best gifts that they have is inside themselves, and no one has taken that from them.
What wisdom. That's just a taste of the great counsel you're going to get in the first interview that we have on this edition of Come Receive the Light. We're with you on this station each week at this same time. I hope you're a regular listener and that you'll tell your friends about the broadcast. That's the best way to get the word out about Come Receive the Light. The Orthodox Christian Network, our parent ministry, is a nonprofit outreach and depends upon the generosity of people like yourself, individuals who are helped by these conversations and believe in this ministry and want to help us grow and continue. You can find out more about us by going to our website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. And now with our first conversation, here's our host, Father Chris.
I'm joined today by Eric Bolin, a national certified counselor who believes that God is the ultimate source of all healing. He's here to talk with us about some of the personal problems that can occur when we're unemployed or face financial hardship. Thanks for being here.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. It's a great honor and pleasure.
When we talk about unemployment, and many of us are doing that these days, it's easy to think about all the physical things. I mean, can we afford a home, a car? How do we cut our expenses? It's all about looking at the cold, hard numbers. But there's also a whole world of emotions, I would think, that comes up with it. So what are some of the common responses to losing a job or just being in a financial hole?
You know, I think one of the first things that people experience is fear, that there's a certain panic of how am I going to survive. It goes to the core of who we are, and probably underneath that is this experience of, gosh, did I fail? Did I do something wrong? What's happening to us? And so it really can lead us to reexamine everything. It's like the rug has been pulled out under us.
At what point do the normal responses become unhealthy or even, I guess, abnormal?
You know, it's really interesting. A normal response would be, okay, I need to readjust and become resilient and connect with God and to figure out what is God's will for my life and ask for the power to carry that out. But what happens is because we have children, we have a family to support, or the circumstances surrounding it, we start to go inward, and our brains begin to go into a state of a panic where the blood leaves the front part of our brain, and we start to get into a fight-or-flight response. And so our thinking becomes very binary. It's very all or it's nothing. It's fight or it's flight. And so then we kind of lose perspective.
I would think so, sure.
Yeah, and it's a reflexive situation. And so, you know, if we can channel ourselves towards God, it works much better. But oftentimes we start grasping for what I can do. And so then we start to lose sleep. We start to have digestion problems. We start to not feel good. And then oftentimes people are getting sick in the midst of the financial crisis.
Making it
They've
worse.
Lost their job and and it's really a struggle for them.
It would be great if we could see money just as a tool, but it's more personal than that for most of us. And so when we feel that our finances are threatened or have been taken away, we can really start to feel like victims, can't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's subtle. Other aspects of the effects of sin in our life, you know, seem quite obvious, like anger, lust, or gluttony. But the effects of how we interact with the material world or with money, and Jesus talks about this when he talks about not being able to serve mammon and money, that it somehow becomes part of who we are as people. And so I love my work. I love my work as a professional counselor. And I think often, what would it be like if I couldn't do that? Mm-hmm. And would I survive? And then I begin to wonder, is this kind of an idol in my life, rather than really trusting that God has gifted me with whatever gifts and talents I have or with whatever financial resources. So I really see that we're really called to be stewards rather than owners of money, and if we can divorce ourselves from the money and realize we're just a steward of it, it makes it not affect our self-esteem so much.
Let's look for a moment at how there are healthy ways to try to regain control over our finances.
There are a number of options. I believe the first option would be having a good prayer life, connecting with the church, connecting with your priest, sharing the burden of what's going on, having daily contact with other fellow people who are going through the same thing actually helps, because it helps us focus on what things we can do and helps us look at what's beyond our control. A funny thing, we tend to try to control things that are beyond our control. Hmm. And the things we could do, we're too afraid to look at, like, gee, did I have credit card debt that I really shouldn't be having, or am I spending money on a latte that I really can't afford, or what other ways can I generate income? I also believe it's important for us to somewhat protect our children from this, that if we look at our parents and our grandparents during the Great Depression, their experiences, that their parents seemed to bear some of the burden of that without letting the children experience it. And that's kind of the gift I want to impart to my children, is to realize God will provide for us. And our job is just to ask, you know, what is it that we need to do to be part of that?
I think that's part of the current generation that, unfortunately, I'm going to say it, has not really grown up yet. And the kids sometimes are more mature than the parents are, whereas the generation before, as you mentioned, during the Great Depression, they sort of shielded the children. I remember one gentleman we had on the program was talking about how his mother would receive bread, and even though the bread was hard and they never ate it, she would put it on the windowsill so that the children would always see that there was bread in the house, even though they never ate that bread. And the parents, actually the mother, actually died of starvation while the children could eat. But she never let the children know that there was a difficulty. Now, maybe that was wrong to go to that extreme on the one side, but on the other side, there is that difference between this generation and maybe previous generations, don't you think?
I do. And with the experience of technology and people getting things quicker without necessarily having to work as hard as our grandparents did, we just have maybe lost touch with the gifts that God has given us, and where our bread actually does come from.
Right. Well, let's look at some constructive ways for spouses, relatives, friends, to help someone who's struggling, who's lost their job. I don't mean financially, let's say, help them, but I mean emotionally. How do we help one another?
We've experienced that ourselves in our own parish, and having the phone close at hand, being able to hear what's going on and faithfully praying for them. We tend to take burdens of people's illnesses, like they're fighting cancer, very seriously. When it comes to finances, it's funny, people are more closed off about that, and I would invite people to really share what's going on with the closest people around them so they really could pray and share that burden. And I also think that looking for jobs, one study came out and said that most jobs are actually found through family and friends rather than the newspaper. Hmm. And so it was quite popular to use now social media to try to say, okay, this is what I'm doing. I'm looking for work if anybody has any leads. And that can be a useful thing. I also do believe that we are there to really help financially in secret. I think it was St. John Chrysostom who talked about the rich man and Lazarus, that each of them were part of the salvation of the other, that Lazarus kind of represented our poor state spiritually, and that the rich man could benefit by giving some of his goods to Lazarus as well. And so, and even the widow who had very little gave her last 2 cents. Mm-hmm. And so giving to our fellow, well, to anybody who's in need, seems to be a pathway to salvation. And I do believe that it's great to do this in secret. And in our parish, what we do is we have a fund. I don't know exactly what we call it, but we send it through the church to the people, and it works really quite nicely.
You know, I said in my last question that I wasn't going to talk about offering financial support, but that's something that a lot of people do or they're thinking about doing. Can you offer any advice in terms of lending money to either friends or to relatives? I mean, are there certain guidelines to follow?
Boy, my first thought is I really don't know what to say about that, in that it's such a sticky situation. Have I heard of sad situations where loans had occurred between friends and family? Certainly. And then I look at my own life where my parents helped me out financially, and sometimes it was a gift, sometimes it was through a loan. And the experience was quite awkward for me. It's like I did not want to receive this. And I found that in prayer, God allowed me to see that this was part of my salvation. This was part of my understanding that I could easily be on the other side helping my parents out.
Sure.
And that if I had the resources, why wouldn't I want to help? So I would say it'd be really good to be prayerful about this, to set up really good boundaries around when, if it was a loan, when things would be paid off. Mm-hmm. And if one is not able to meet that obligation, say like it was monthly, that the best thing we could do is immediately call them and try to talk about it. See, the common theme is that we tend to avoid it because we're too embarrassed, we're too frightened and fearful, so that lack of communication between the parties is where it begins to not look so good. And so I believe you'd have to have really good communication there.
Eric, I really appreciate all the guidance and the practical tips you've given us today. I thank you for coming on the program. I'm sure you've helped many of our listeners.
Well, by God's grace, I really thank you for the opportunity to be of help.
What a great few words to use at the end of that conversation, to be of help. That summarizes it beautifully, doesn't it? That's also why we're here with Come Receive the Light. By the way, if you tuned in late, this is an outreach of the Orthodox Christian Network, a broadcast, a weekly program called Come Receive the Light. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. And you can listen again to this particular program and other archived broadcasts. When you go to the website, just click on the CRTL link on the homepage and then select the particular program going back over a number of years that you'd like to listen to. Our website is myocn.net. That's myocn.net. You can also click on the Donate Now button on the homepage and select a number of ways in which you can participate with us as a financial partner. Maybe you'd like to become someone who gives on a regular basis, a Share the Light partner, an individual who commits to a certain amount of giving over the next 12 months. That's myocn.net. You'll also find links to our blogs and our podcasts and our internet-only radio stations right there on the website, myocn.net.
So part of this is the idea that you're going to be in transition for a while. He may be carrying you, or you may be operating on faith that at some point there will be a landing and that he's got you.
What a great word picture. The he she's referring to is Jesus Christ, of course. And we have more counsel for you when it comes to being unemployed, how you get through it. And with the conversation, once again, here's our host, Father Chris.
I'm joined today by Anastasia Carol Cruzi, a licensed clinical professional counselor. She's here today to talk with us about becoming empowered by unemployment. Now, that's a play on words. Thanks for talking with us today, Anastasia.
Thank you, Father. It's my blessing to be here with you and share whatever it is I can that might be helpful to people who are struggling or maybe losing faith and hope about their situations now.
I understand that you actually had experience with this topic from almost every angle. You worked in HR that's human resources, with a large company for many years. So you've probably actually hired and fired people, right?
I have. When I think back about my own journey, it's really been a journey in faith, though I didn't understand it at that time. When I was very young, had always thought about being a psychologist or a social worker or maybe a hairdresser. Those were my top three.
Okay.
But then life happened. You know, I went to college and started and thought, oh my gosh, I really can't be a psychologist because I can't see myself being in school that long. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up marrying and having a child, and, you know, together as a family, it became much more sometimes about surviving than about living out maybe his will for me or my own dreams. And I've really come to understand those are dreams that he put in my heart a long time ago, and that later on, most recently, he called me back to those and showed me the way to him through him.
I believe that when we deal with the issues of unemployment or employment, we have to realize that we're dealing with human beings. We're not just dealing with numbers.
Yes.
And that, of course, plays very well or works itself out very well within an Orthodox Christian perspective, in that each of us as a person is created in the image and the likeness of God. So we're talking here not about numbers, but we're talking about individuals. You yourself, from what I know, have been fired from a job.
You bet.
So tell us how that went. Tell us about that experience.
Well, along the way, there have been many experiences like that for me. I've had two companies closing, one major downsizing, two reorganizations, one location elimination, another position that was eliminated, and one that probably was most profound for me was a political change on the senior leadership team where, you know, it was another example of really struggling with a loss where it had profound impact on me emotionally, financially, mentally. I had to really work to every time get myself back up, put myself out there, and understand what I needed to do to move forward in my life.
Well, let's talk to you now as a counselor.
Yes.
What are some of the things that are normal to experience when a person is laid off?
Well, first of all, let's look at this as a loss, because it is a loss. And there is grief when you lose someone you love or a job you love. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross has a model around strategies of death and dying that has really been identified as a model that works for looking at us and dealing with all the losses in everyday life. So first of all, people will say, I was just in shock. I was kind of, even though I knew it was coming, it was different when they walked to me and said, you need to leave now. And everything that I was so wrapped up in my everyday life and thought that's all the real reality of my life is gone. And now I'm home and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with myself. That there is a kind of period of almost denial. It's the, I can't believe that this happened to me, bargaining. Well, maybe if I just work harder, they won't lay me off, or maybe I'll be one person who doesn't, or if I just do this, then I can avoid that loss. And then finally, if that doesn't work very well, you know, and sometimes we're busy having these conversations with God, right? Could you just save me from that? Could you just, you know, please?
Well, it's a fearful time, too. I mean, people really do get very fearful when they hear others within their company being laid off. And
right.
Then themselves, because they have families, they have responsibilities, they have a lifestyle, And this is a very fearful thing to be laid off.
It is. And sometimes when we feel like God is not answering our prayers, the response to that is a feeling of anger. Mm-hmm. So you actually get mad at God. And I think you were speaking about that earlier, Father, this idea of that it's sometimes difficult for us to deal with what's underneath the anger. Mm-hmm. The anger is not the first emotion. The first emotions are the sadness and the disappointment and the betrayal. But sometimes to energize ourselves, we go to the anger as a way of using that to move forward, being angry at the people who took away the job or the circumstances or the economy. And so now we're resensing a lot of very negative emotions over and over again.
Okay. What are some of the things, then, that you can advise people to do who are unemployed and don't really know where to go, what to do next?
Well, if we look at that, the idea about this is a process of managing change, it's a process of letting go of the old and moving toward the new and seeing the middle as a period of transition. So during transition, it's as though you're on a trapeze. You don't know exactly where you're going, but you're really swinging back and forth. You haven't really left someplace, but you haven't really moved forward to land somewhere in a solid way. And so part of this is the idea that you're going to be in transition for a while. He may be carrying you, or you may be operating on faith that at some point there will be a landing and that he's got you. I think, you know, this idea about stepping back and saying, all right, I need to go to him. I need to be still and listen and know that he is God. I need to pray. I need to listen. In all of my learnings over all of my losses, it's the times when I prayed and then I was quiet when I heard his words to me that were very concrete and very specific. You must have the words performance management on the resume. Leave those there so that 2 years later, this resume that had been floating around and was sitting in somebody's drawer, I actually got a phone call about my last corporate job where they said, wow, you're the person we've been looking for, and these two words are those words. And so this idea that in retrospect, I know that he is guiding me, I just don't know what's happening in the moment. So stepping back, knowing that I have to make myself ready and I have to listen to his words. There are lots of concrete things that we can do in terms of a job search and stepping back and taking an inventory of what am I interested in, you know, what are my abilities and all the things that I feel good about having accomplished in my life, not just at work, but also within church, because there are so many ways that we can volunteer and take a leadership position or that our skills may be developed in other ways. And we forget the fullness of who we are sometimes mm-hmm. and what we've accomplished.
Well, let me go out on a limb here and ask you this question. Do you think there is a good side to being unemployed? I mean, can it be something that helps us or even empowers us in any way?
Oh, when I think back about how over time I have reframed the journey, and on this end of it I say, okay, I need to readjust my thinking. This is about theosis. This is a spiritual journey. This isn't just about a job. So what do I need to learn here? And I think about the lessons that I have learned, and people can say, you know, what are the spiritual truths that I have to acknowledge? And one of them is that I am so thankful for the miracles that he has worked in my life. You know, the times when he has guided me and put someone in my path who then provided me with the income that I needed to do consulting, to go back to school. The verses that are so important to me over time, the ones that I keep right by my computer, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. With God, all things are possible. More than anything else, it's this journey in faith and understanding how we have this incredible jewel in our faith that can guide us through. So first I have to align everything with my faith, and then all things follow on this earth. So if I ask, he'll give me concrete directions. And I have to see myself as the prodigal son sometimes, mm-hmm. and the parables that are so powerful. And, you know, I think a big lesson for me was my securities net in corporate America, and I held on to that for years. And I would get disillusioned, and I would leave, and I would go do some consulting outside, and I'd come back and think that the next big job was the way for me to be successful in life and have the income. One of the things that when I was working for an outplacement firm, we talked about with people, you need to think about yourself as Carol Cruzy Inc. And I think that's true, but only if I realize that God is on my board of directors, you know. And for me, it was...
That's a good way to look at it.
It was only when I started realizing when I was chrismated, because I'm a convert, enough to see at Carol Cruzy is who I am, is whose I am. It's putting the resurrection first in the Anastasia in Greek, and that God's universe is always first, that he knows every hair in my head. He parted the Red Sea. If not this, then something better. It's his will for me is good and not evil. It's all of those things that I had to turn to and really internalize and use in my faith to get me through this, because there would be no other way that I could have managed all the mental, emotional journey without realizing that it was truly a spiritual journey.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Anastasia, for being with us today.
Thank you, Father.
Well, you've been listening to another edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. And please do encourage your friends to tune us in. You can go to our website, myocn.net, and listen again to this broadcast. You may know someone who needs to hear it. That's myocn.net, and click on the CRTL link on the homepage. As always, thanks to our executive producer, Father Spiro Bobotis, and our programming director, and anchored. Again, I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. Do let your friends know that we are on the air, and join us again next week at this same time on this same station. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.